Today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Another little special this week. As we're entering into the tourist season proper, well, I think we're into it now, technically, aren't we, if it started at Easter, I thought we'd look at our visitors. And I turn again to the wonderful book, which is Here Is the News, an illustrated Manx history, written by our own Terry Kringle, amongst many others, Mr. Forster, Mr. Knife, Mr. Cowan, Mr. Ratcliffe, all the greats of local history contributed, and a wonderful tome it is. And if we turn to a little section marked Looking After Our Visitors, and hailing back to the late part of the 1930 part of the 20th century. And it's written that we've seen an advance copy of yet another in the long line of guidebooks intended to assist visitors to our shores. This one is in the series of shilling guides issued by Ward Lock and Bowden Limited of London, New York and Melbourne. I wonder if they came from Melbourne to the Isle of Man. The series runs to 39 guidebooks to various regions of England, 14 of Scotland, 11 of Ireland and 4 on the continent. In addition to that, the Isle of Man seen by us. Not only is it part of a large series, but the publishers claim they'll keep their guidebooks revised in coming years. There is general information about the Isle of Man and its history, together with detailed descriptions of various areas and outings. Another section tells how to get to the island, yet another where to stay, and there is a large and scholarly appendix entitled The Natural History of the Isle of Man. Sounds like a good book, doesn't it? Prospective visitors are advised of the various ports from which they may embark on steamers for the island. How many have we got now? Wait for this list. Liverpool, Fleetwood, Barrow, Holyhead, Whitehaven, Silloth, Glasgow, Greenock, Dublin and Belfast. How much progress have we made over the years, I wonder? It advises the charges to Douglas from London are first class, 68 shillings and threepence. Sounds quite a lot, doesn't it? Like now. Second class, 51 and 6, and third class, 34 and 6. It goes on to say the Isle of Man is stated to be par excellence, the land of boarding houses. They are all sorts and conditions, all of them the best of their class, and their terms are so arranged they will suit the requirements and the pocket of the thousands of visitors who resort thither in the summer, except those whose purses are quite empty. Fair dinkum. Hotels, many of a very high order, and all of them very good, they multiply year by year as the requirements of our visiting friends, as the toast to every banquet runs, need them. Their charges are not unreasonable. And it lists various hotels, the Castle Mona, the Athol, the Adelphi, Grand, Salisbury, Talbot, Waterfall, Commercial, the Manx Arms in Onchan, still there, of course, Craig Mallon and Peel, ditto, the George in Castletown, same again, the Bellevue, the Albert, the Mitre, that's the Mitre in Ramsey. In the description of the town of Douglas, the guidebook explains that as new arrivals come off the steamers, large hotels face them, houses where good apartments may be secured, stretch along the prom, cars and wagonettes are waiting at the end of the pier, with the drivers asking the visitors to employ them, and porters, who apparently live for no other object, leap on board and express their readiness to carry their luggage. I expect that's the same. Active lodging housekeepers, male and female, press through the crowd, insinuating their cards into the hands of the wearied arrivals. And it will be hard indeed if in a very short time all these tired tourists are not comfortably housed, refreshed inwardly and outwardly, and discussing how they may best enjoy the beauties and wonders of this picturesque island. Sounds exactly the same as now, doesn't it? Before leaving Douglas and turning to the more picturesque parts of the island, the guidebook says, of course, the usual seaside entertainments are to be found on the promenade. Instrumental bands, solo vocalists, the blackened artists, who, though in a different sense from that in which Hud used the words, rattle their bones over the stones, I don't think they are still going. Perhaps that's good. Very juvenile female violinists, they're not either, and singers of comic ditties. As there is plenty of room in the roadway for these various artistes, the promenades are not incommoded and can, if they prefer to do so, enjoy the ever-changing beauties of the sea or criticise the costumes of the visitors as their fancy may incline. So these are the people taking the airs and walking along the promenade to all these various attractions. Places of entertainment described include the Pavilion, a originally known as the Marina Palace, erected in 1892 in 11 weeks and devoted to dancing and concerts, sacred concerts and so forth. The Central Hotel, one of the many large houses of entertainment in Douglas. Olympia, a recent addition to the pleasure and recreational grounds of the town. It is chiefly devoted to athletic sports. Where was that, I wonder? The Palace and Opera House, the former the largest building in Douglas, devoted entirely to amusement, in which concerts are held every Sunday during the season. It cost nearly £100,000. That must be in the millions now, easily. The Opera House was opened in 1893. The Derby Castle, owned by the Derby Castle Hotel and Pleasure Grounds Company. The Victoria Tower, Strathallan, which contains a camera obscura. We still have one up here, of course, on Douglas Head. And galvanic machines and other attractions. I think galvanic machines were those ones which made your hair stand on end, if I'm not wrong, with static electricity. From the summit of the tower, it goes without saying, a glorious prospect can be obtained. The Bellevue Pleasure Ground on Peel Road is one of the most recent additions of the town, erected in 1892 for the exhibition they held. It's been acquired by a company and is now a very popular place of recreation. It has a good racing track available for athletes and cyclists. Of the supposed health-giving pastime beloved by visitors, bathing, our guide has this to say. One of the bathing places of the neighbourhood is the beach opposite the Castle Mona Hotel. Here are drawn up in rows at a respectful distance apart, bathing machines for ladies and gentlemen. It's rather amusing to see them called male and female vans, but that is only a matter of detail. They're well constructed and comfortably fitted up, and their tariff, sixpence for one bather, ninepence for two, is reasonable. But in Victoria Street are some baths, alike unexceptional in their construction and management. They include two large swimming baths, as well as others of the usual description. However, at Portskillion is the free, popular bathing resort for gentlemen. A little creek flows into the sea and some small caves are utilised as dressing rooms, and there are concrete piers from which a good header may be taken and enclosed places where persons unable to swim may bathe in safety. And finally it says, away from Douglas, other places of resort and amusement are the Marine Drive, leading to Port Sodrick, one of the most charming spots in the island, and it contains a hotel and numerous refreshment rooms which do a roaring trade on a hot summer's day. Its coast is very rocky, and on the south side of the bay are three caves, known as the Smuggler's Cave. Still there, of course, if you want to see them. Though I think it's mostly the home for Heroes Over the Water now, the wonderful charity. Well, it just gives you a taste of how we used to look after our visitors. I'll leave it to you on whether we are doing a better job now, or perhaps not as good. I'll leave it there. Suffice to say, of course, visitors to the Isle of Man, old news. Until next time, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.